Gaivecast, episode 101?
Yes, 101, The Lost Amadeus, which is season 5, episode 18, which aired the 19th of April, 1990, which is 3 weeks after the last one. So they obviously don't care about April because they're getting ready for May sweeps.
Yeah, so it's post-February sweeps, pre-May sweeps.
Did they do February?
Well, February sweeps was always popular throughout the 90s. I don't know if they'd started it yet, but I assume they did. I assume the sweeps weeks were always kind of the same for about 20, 30 years there.
Okay. So the summary is a famous musician is kidnapped by criminals who want a violin originally owned by Mozart as the ransom. A young woman, well, I don't know about young, enlists MacGyver's help to defeat the criminals.
Yeah, that's fairly accurate, kind of. Like all these pieces of shit IMDb descriptions that seem to be the official ones on the DVD sets, too, though.
Well, that's most of this, like Wikipedia, a lot of the stuff on IMDb is copied from other sources. Mm-hmm. Quite often, one referring back to the other.
Interesting.
So we open on a character last used, the same name, same actor, in the fantasy western alternate reality show.
I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, who will keep coming back. He comes back as the same character. He comes back like 3, 4, 5 times.
But he only existed in that episode in the past, right? He wasn't in the real world?
No. Yes. He was MacGyver's wacky neighbor in the marina.
So is he, like a Mr. Mixelplick?
No, he's wacky neighbor, a wacky marina neighbor.
I know, but he shows up right when MacGyver starts time traveling. Just saying, yes. Is he like Mr. Whatever the fucking Great Gazoo? So say Mr. Magoo. You know, all those weird fucking characters that have like a time travel property.
But I have no idea why they decided to add this character because he adds nothing.
Yeah, I feel like he's somebody, maybe he's like Richard D. Anderson's pot dealer.
I don't know. And so they are biking, and while some rocking Huey Lewis Gennaro rock plays.
Man, rocking, driving bikes.
Kind of more saxophony Huey Lewis. And they're supposed to be along Stanley Park, but they're not. I think this is North Burnaby.
Yeah, it looks almost like Green Lake, oddly enough, but I know it's definitely Canada. With the worst sped-up photography in the show's history, possibly, and then the guy must have his mountain bike set on a shitty setting, so he's just rocketing his legs like a crazy person, while Richard Dean Anderson, in his white high tops with his black jeans tucked in, is just casually rolling.
And his black flight jacket.
Yeah, with it zipped up. He's not even breaking a sweat, with his golden locks flowing. And my God, that you could make soup out of that mullet at this point. It's fucking disgusting.
Yes, and then they cut back to Vancouver, where they then stop because Mac didn't mention hills. This isn't the Tour de France.
You did good, kid. I don't know. You did good. I embarrass myself. I'm gonna be paralyzed for life.
Yes, Mac just wants to do some couch potato stuff, so no donuts for him. Instead, he gets run into by a white land barge because he was stopped half on an alley. like a douche.
And what's funny is when he says couch potato stuff, the guy leaves. It's almost as if he's like, ah, shit, let me go prep the time machine.
Yes. And you notice from the car tracks, this is like take 6, 7, or 8.
Yeah, just pure rubber burned into the concrete. This dumb cunt
in a move that one of those cars could not do.
Exactly.
You could not corner one of those cars so fast that she could have stopped so far down.
They probably did a practice vehicle with an Asian car. But this dumb cunt hits him with her car, which is the only time episode of MacGyver I've ever related to is him being run over or his bike being run over. And she puts it into the trunk of her stupid car and lets MacGyver take the front seat. And you get another shot of him.
Did you notice that there was already not a good bungee cord? One of those shitty solid rubber bungee cords already set up.
Yeah, no, it was really bad. And you get another shot of his shitty high tops. That must be a fashion statement, right? They're doing this on purpose.
Trunks of those cars are so big, you could put a bike in it without needing to bungee it.
Yeah, it doesn't even make sense.
It's even not like she damaged the convertible. Yeah, so that's just... So the dame is worried about the car more than the guy she just ran into.
Did you call her a dame?
Yeah, the dame. Huh. Well, she's kind of being a dame in this so far, and they haven't told us her name.
That's just much nicer than me calling her a cunt.
Yes. Mac reluctantly gets in, so maybe he's thinking in the back of his mind this could be Murdoch in disguise trying to kill him.
Or it could be a free blowjob before Murdoch reveals himself, just like last time.
Yes, and she kind of drives like me when I'm at work. Full brake, full throttle, nothing in between.
Your cum tastes like pickles, MacGyver. You need to eat better.
Yeah, and did you notice how much of a quality production this episode is?
Yeah, the backdrop when she's driving is amazing. It's just a pure white screen. It's like she's driving in heaven.
No rear screen projection. Nope. No using a no using a follow trailer.
It's literally driving with nothing. They've gone
just
into a cloud.
Lit white curtains
and
behind
it's
and
right
beside them.
After she swerves into oncoming traffic, and MacGyver saves the day. So for a minute, you're like, oh, they just died and went to heaven.
Yes. So yeah, classy production here.
Yeah, they didn't even try. Dude, you could like literally in post with 10-year-old technology, they did this with blue screen because you can see blue screen edges around their hair. I think I could go in and like the 97 and make this look good.
I don't think they were blue screening it. I think they just had white behind them.
Well, I think they did too, but there's weird blue outline around her hair, which is odd. That's what I thought. I thought they just did this in a warehouse with white behind them, but there's blue outline around her hair. So it's like, I don't know how that shows up. But they did try to do forward-facing shadows and stuff. And then as soon as they park, she starts bending over, just face in MacGyver's lap for like 30
minutes. Oh, well,
first
we find out it's Izzy's car.
Yeah.
She almost kills him driving into traffic. Yeah. Izzy is a classical musician and a famous one.
But
and
we don't see the white backdrop really until after she almost drives into traffic, right? Or is
and
it
her
shown
name,
before?
I think it shows up before. And her name is Lulu. Even though it's really something like Susan or something, she says. Mac is revealed to be 39 and hasn't been married, so she thinks he must have a fear of commitment, or I think might be gay. She has to make a stop, so she can't take Mac to the marina. Something to do with a pawn shop. He uses it like a safety deposit box. I guess because he's an old Jew that doesn't trust banks. Yep. I don't know.
Probably something racist there. And then she's like going over the front seat again in MacGyver's lap for 45 minutes.
Yes, because she has to go to the thing and do a thing with the thing.
And she even specs his high tops. His weird ladies running socks over his high tops over his jeans show up again.
He has his foot on the claim ticket.
It's like, it's so white and so clean. I want a high def shot of this. Come on, guys.
And now she decides, so now she needs to go see Izzy. And Mac is basically being held captive because they can't do anything at the pawn shop because it's closed.
And she drives off to some mansion. It's right around the corner, apparently.
Yes. Mac then decides to walk home.
Yeah.
She makes sure he doesn't forget his newspaper that was his excuse for being stalked where he was. He buys a giant Sunday newspaper that's so big it's bound up by string.
Uh-huh.
And and then she plants a sexy kiss on him that brings out the saxophone.
Yeah, it's definitely love sax, and then he tries to walk his sad bicycle.
Yes, Lulu walks in on some horrible violin screeching, so has to keep yelling out, Izzy, Izzy.
Uh-huh.
And then while out at the gate, Max decides to fix his bike, so straighten his handlebars. Yep. He still has a tacoed rear wheel.
Yep, so I don't even know how that's going to work. He's just going to drag it the whole way, I guess.
Well, he at least wants the handlebars straight. He also finds out that he's picked up an invitation, so of course he has to take that back.
He should just fucking pull the wheel off, throw it away. It's not like you're going to try to straighten it out.
Or you might be able to kick it enough so it would still, like, unhook the brakes, kick it straight enough, you could at least walk it.
And one of the craziest things in MacGyver's history is coming up. It's the craziest.
Oh, yes. Okay, so the violin is being abused by a black man who is menacing the old Jew with it. So let's see. The actor died at age 59, is noted for doing AIDS charitable work. It's a former a cappella singer who then quit to go
do
Broadway.
Is the old man Ed Koch?
No, it just kind of looks like him. So I'm thinking that the sudden death from a brain hemorrhage was possibly not the entire story.
An AIDS hemorrhage.
Yes. So a violin gets smashed.
Is the violin causing his nose to bleed, or was he roughed up first and then traumatized?
Oh, no, he's being roughed up.
When you conventionally see it, it looks like he's like, ah, my brain's being scrambled.
Yes, and there's another guy who smacks Lulu across the face for not having the Amadeus, so he's also a bad guy.
Hey, this guy is so fucking gay.
Yes. He also hosted
another wrong of it is just to be so fucking gay.
He was the original lead singer, bass singer for the a cappella group The Nylons. He quit them just before they got really famous to go do Broadway. And he hosted a Canadian TV Ontario kids show.
And he hosted a lackluster T-cell count. Burn.
Yes. So Max senses that something is amiss, and when he comes into the room, gets knocked up by the black henchman with a violin over his head, where they play that stock sound of a guitar being smashed.
Yeah.
Ka-twang.
Ka-twang.
Yes. Oh, such a high-quality show.
Dude, why are we watching this fag shit?
So now, for no reason, Lulu claims that Mac is her husband.
Mm-hmm.
And Henchman is going to kill... He's threatening to kill Izzy with a bow, a violin bow.
After she gets punched in the face.
No, backhanded.
Yeah,
I know,
might as well be a punch.
Yes. So she comes up with the plan that they'll meet at the Roaring Twenties Bash, which was the invitation Mac had.
Yeah.
And they'll swap the Amadeus for Izzy.
Yeah, so they take Izzy out in a hurry, and Ed Koch and MacGyver wakes up. What's going on, Lulu? And she's just like trying to be like, I don't know. Oh, this is the fake Penny Parker, right?
Oh, that's what I was going to say at the end. Yeah. So they'll have to start at the pawn shop because they need to get whatever's there. And then once they arrive there, since cell phones do not exist, Mac has to go around the corner to the phone booth that she knows is there to call the emergency number that was written on the window.
He does pass a black guy with a boombox next to his head.
Well, then we see Lulu getting a tire iron.
Yeah.
Then Mac is confronted by what was considered ghetto music coming from a ghetto blaster with its radio antenna up.
Yeah, so he's really shaking it, making that signal kind of choppy.
Yes, so you see, because there's a pawn shop nearby, you got to have urban youths. You gotta have racist black characters.
All missing is a paper-covered bottle.
Yes. And I'll point out that Mac is still, at this point, wearing his fingerless biking gloves.
I know!
Yes, and he can't hear anything on the phone because of the music, which he turns off when he comes out and because when he starts running to the burglar alarm.
Yeah, because she broke into the pawn shop, clearly.
Yes. And Lulu, with a tire iron, she breaks into a building that would get broken into regularly. Yeah. So, great security there, guys.
Mm-hmm. And the cops, of course, immediately pull up right as they turn the corner.
She's coming out with a giant golf bag.
Yeah, but the cops pull up. It's so funny. They turn the corner right as the cops pull up. And instead of like going, hey, what's that car turning on the corner? No, we'll just stop here.
Yes, and I just
we won't catch the suspects 5 feet away from us.
That you know who loves to golf? Jewish classically trained musicians.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, they're massive duffers. I mean, you can't get them off the green.
They love doing things with their hands where they might fuck up their hands.
Yes. So they just drive off as the cops arrive. Yeah, yeah. Great policing there, boys.
Yeah.
And not only that, you're going to an alarm with the sirens responding. So you don't do that. You turn it off so you don't scare people away and you might catch them.
Yeah, and also when you see a car peeling out on the corner, you don't stop as hard as you can and just go, let's just check out the store first. How about you catch them and then you resolve everything within 7 minutes and then you go back to do whatever the fuck you want to do.
Yes, in checking out the golf bag, Mac finds a violin case. Hey, it's that violin that Izzy bought in Salzburg on his previous trip. He bought it for a song at a flea market, and he sounded so excited about it.
And there's this old letter.
Yes, well, a document. It's been sealed with a little sealing, a little wax seal. Yep. She recognized it as a certificate of origin.
It's sealed with period blood.
It says the label is missing. But according to this paper, it's a Stradivarius known as the Amadeus, which apparently it was a violin owned by Haydn, who gave it to its good friend Amadeus Mozart.
Yeah.
That's the kind of thing you're going to find at a flea market.
Yeah.
With the certificate of authenticity.
This is why old guys got metal detectors, went to the beach. Crazy bullshit like this.
Yes. So, now Lulu decides to play the violin for an audience of the homeless that magically all appear.
Yep.
Five or six homeless people.
That's about right. We do have magical homeless in this universe. They are, what are those? The angels, the fallen gods?
Yes. So they need to get costumes because, after all, no one is allowed in without a costume.
Her beautiful violining makes MacGyver turn into an honest human being. And I love all the homeless people. Old skinny white guy, fat Asian kind of lady.
Yes. I think she's supposed to be Indian.
Yeah, that's what you know.
Because she's wearing a couch and sweater.
I love seeing the old guy cry. It makes me happy.
Yes. So we cut to what looks like a Duesenberg car or similar oldie style car pulling up to the Speakeasy Club, which is very, very 80s. Mac has at least taken off his fucking gloves. And they have this stupid one-floor elevator.
I only take the gloves off for eating pie and pussy.
That takes you from where you entered down to the club floor, and it's very, very slow and has metal cages in front of it. This will become a plot device later. Of course, there are literally dozens of people all dancing randomly near tables. And, of course, there's live music.
Yeah, that means this episode's so bad.
Yes, and there's a violin player in the stage band because, yeah, that's what you have in classic speakeasy jazz, violin. The violin player decides to switch out to a saxophone. So, yes, those are two very complementary instruments. Violin players are just down with the saxophone.
Yep.
That's just stupid. So Lulu makes Mac dance. Mac, being a boob, I'll point out, still has his fucking hat on.
Yeah, and the worst ponytail of all time.
Yes. The bad guys come in dressed as cop and, quote, arrest Mac and Lulu while taking the violin. Of course, it's the fake violin. Mm-hmm. And then that's spotted, so they're handcuffed together. They then knock out the bad guys and escape into a mechanical room.
I was hoping they were going to force Richard Dean Anderson to do that faggy swing dancing, but they didn't.
Yes. So they open a window that was too impossible for them to actually get out of, and then they go hide behind a vent.
Huh.
And then suspense break on a mouse. Will she have to scream because she's stupid and will scream and cause her death?
Mm.
Yes, she does. Yeah. So she reacts when Mac has her is kind of strangling her.
Yeah, that's great.
He's got the rapist clutch over her mouth. And then he kind of grabs the rat and throws it to the vent. And when the black guy looks in, just sees the rat and says, hey, it must just be the rat making weird, girly, squeaky noises.
Yeah.
They then go the other way through the vent. And then they come out into what must have been a brand new Pacific Center Northern Extension, which is a mostly underground downtown Vancouver mall that I think now is just like a high-end men's clothier, that entire mall section.
Weird.
It's just, I think, a Harry Rosen.
I went to this abandoned mall in Bakersfield when I was dating this one chick, and it became a church on the weekends, what they call ethnic mall, which is just kind of racist. The escalators were shut down. The whole bottom floor was shut down. There's garbage piled up in the escalators. I couldn't believe it was still operating, but it was like half apocalypse, half function.
Yeah, then it is very, very 80s.
I felt like I was an Escape from New York. It's like, yeah, this guy in here will shine your eyes, and this guy he'll give you a vagina.
And what's weird is in this mall, oh God, what would it be like 20 years later? They redo this entire area and put in a five-story fountain, which was so loud, people inside stores with doors closed had to wear leaf blower earphones. To avoid the noise.
God damn.
Yes. And then it was later changed. And now it's a store, just a single store.
And they climb out of the vent.
Part of the mall. Yes, they climb out of the vent into the mall, which is, of course, still has the escalators working, is still fully lit, and the fountains are still fully powered.
It's kind of pretty.
Because that's what you do in malls. You just leave them completely lit.
That must be the same mall they shot a few Are You Afraid of the Darks in. There's one where a kid's like a pinball master or video game master, and he gets caught in a mall with a bunch of bad guys. And I believe this fountain and this whole setup is exactly the same.
It's weird in that it's 4 or 5 stories. Most of the malls are usually 3 stories.
Yes, this is the mall. I'm looking right at it. This is from Are You Afraid of the Dark? This is the Pinball Wizard episode.
It's really weird because it's in the middle of downtown Vancouver, so it's not where people really want to film.
Hmm. People want to shop there, though.
Yeah, it's a hard place to film in because it's in the middle of downtown, away from everything.
Yeah.
Okay, so they somehow...
They run into Pablo Escobar, security guard.
Oh, God, yeah. Okay, so a security guard demands to see his ID, not her ID, just his ID, which, of course, he just has in his right front pocket with a bunch of crumpled up bills because he's some kind of hobo.
Why don't you want to see her ID? We're just going to rape and kill her later.
Yes, and Lulu scopes it out to see his name and then reacts badly to it as if it's a very bad name, like Reinhold.
And when she comes back from the bathroom and pulls her glove up, I'm like, she probably could have wiped with her glove on, like front wipe. So she was taking a shit and she didn't want to get poop on her gloves.
We also find out that she lifted the guard's handcuff key.
Yeah.
which gets them out of the handcuffs finally, which Mac wasn't able to pick open with his tie tack earlier.
And his horrible tie with the sword on it or the knife. What the fuck is that?
I don't know what it is. Yes. And Mac is trying to figure out how they knew about the violin. Finds out he had it shipped, so it must have been the shippers. So they run outside to get a taxi to the airport.
Yeah.
And then they find out that the crate that had been shipped was damaged. And the guy asking for it about a half hour ago left his card and demanded whatever that they call. So the pissed off New York security or shipper guy just gives him the card, which gives the name of Arnold Tubbs, Violin Sales and Repairs, from 2117 Lermont Street, Santa Luisa, California.
Yeah. Now, I wonder if that's a real place.
The address actually exists in a town kind of right between Carlsbad and Escondido, kind of north of San Diego.
You show up there, they go, you watched every episode of MacGyver, didn't you? And you're like, I did. What happens? And they just stab you to death. You're like, no.
Yes, but it's actually a Great Clips. Oh. So I think that
they would just stab you to death. The Great Clips in Hawaii chased me out and called me a howie.
This must have been an address that meant something to someone, so the town doesn't exist. But Lermont Street? Yeah.
That must be if somebody picked that used to score pot. That must be what it is.
Something. Oh. And then they take a taxi to Tubbs. And Tubbs, you'll recognize this alley. They use it a lot in this show. It must be one of the back or one of the side streets to
the old
warehouse by the studio.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So as close to the studio as possible.
It's part of the studio, yeah. I think.
Basically, it's like the outside of it, like the outside fence area.
Yeah, it's like one of the old warehouses where they used to build bridges.
Yeah, all right.
Lulu wants to smash open the window with a garbage can, but Mac decides to sneak up a fire escape.
Mm-hmm.
He then picks open a door with his tie pin successfully this time. And hey, there's Izzy. And of course, they're the bad guys there waiting for them.
And then he reaches into his own actual tie and pulls out a knife. Didn't actually happen, but he probably could on this show. We're like one step away.
Yes, Mac now gets tied to Izzy, and if he isn't back, if Tubbs isn't back in an hour with the violin, the henchmen will have to kill Mac and Izzy.
First, he's going to pour hot wax on them
again
and get
because no phones, so phones don't exist. Remember,
an AIDS patient is threatening them with hot wax.
He threatens them with fire for no reason. Like it's the oil burner base from an oil lamp.
And he just pours it on the table.
And then just leaves it there and leaves.
Burning.
Leaves the room. Burning. Still. Yes. Mac spots that the smoke spots a smoke detector and that they have CO2 fire nozzles above them. Which, no.
Nope.
In this area, it could have been a halon one. But no, they didn't have carbon dioxide nozzles like that. I don't think ever.
I don't think I've ever seen that in my life.
Well, and the excuse is, because if it goes off, the carbon dioxide won't damage the violins. Actually, it'd probably do more than getting it wet. Because wood is meant to get wet. It is not meant to have ice-cold carbon dioxide come on it.
And especially if, they're well-cleaned and polished, they're probably covered in a bunch of paraffin and shit. And they get wet for 30 minutes, and then you dry them out and then put them somewhere so all the humidity is absorbed.
Yes, and you can just keep them completely wet.
Yeah.
And dry them out properly. So, yeah, that's... That's a piece of shit writing there. So Mac knocks the burner into a garbage can filled with paper, which causes quite a conflagration if you watch some of the scenes.
Yeah.
Izzy is told to hold his breath until they are out of the room. The henchman then comes in and apparently chokes to death. He suffocates. Yes. And instead of running out of the room, what does Mac do? He kicks on a scroll saw and uses it to cut through their ropes.
Yep.
And then they escape through doors that were open and can breathe again before he closes them.
And he does drag the henchman out.
Yes. So he only has brain damage, not death.
Yeah.
And it would seem that this door, which is very rattly, seems to have a perfect fit. Because they don't turn off the carbon dioxide emitters, so they're still pumping that room full of liquid death.
It's a air pressure seal. It's soundproof. No leaking.
Yes. So Tubbs and Lulu have been back in the nightclub. Yes, they've been let into the closed nightclub with their ample cleaning crew of about five or six people. And hey, the band's still there because bands always stay around.
Yeah, and they're just laughing. He's pointing a gun at us.
Yes, because there was this whole, we're here to arrest Al Capone. So people were all laughing earlier in the club.
Yeah.
And so he lets off with a shot.
A symbol. And, shoots a symbol.
Yeah, shoots a symbol off.
Is this symbolism or what?
Yes. Lulu gets the magical violin. Mac jumps down to the main floor, or the basement floor, mm-hmm. where they are, and gets shot at.
Mm-hmm.
Mac then wrecks the elevator by hitting the single button off a wall.
Yeah, with a trash can.
Yes, and yes, because... Oh, God. This
that's more of an
so
ashtray,
stupid.
Isn't it? That's a sign of time it is. That's an
yeah,
ashtray.
Yeah, it's like one of those old cylindrical ashtrays.
Yeah.
So now Tubbs has to climb out. Oh, so because he, quote, wrecked the elevator, you'll never get out now. Which, okay, so what the fucking fuck?
It reminds me of... What was that James Bond movie, the last one, where he's in the casino in, like, Asia, and he has to jump out from, like, the weird animal, the reptiles, the Komodo dragons?
Yes. So think of this. This is a nightclub that's probably meant to have a couple hundred people in it. The only way to get out
is an elevator, which
elevator
is not,
that can
not
hold
legal.
Two people that moves very, very
it's
slowly.
It's not legal, fire code-wise. And then she bites the guy's leg, much like the Komodo dragon in that James Bond movie, Skyfall.
Yeah, as he's climbing up. Mm-hmm. Because he's out of bullets, so he's thrown his gun. He threatens to throw the violin. He actually does. MacGyver catches it diving. And I guess he falls to his death? I can't remember.
Yep.
Yeah. So now we now cut to Wilt being a biking wizard. He wants Mac to set him up with some babes. And then introduces him to Lulu, who, of course, screeches to a halt beside them in a driving school car. Because
hey, MacGyver,
why not?
I got those vials of EPO you left at your place.
Yes. So, couple things.
Now Spaz meets Lulu, who's in driving school, and MacGyver laughs again at the credits, which is just like, how many fucking times are we going to laugh in this jagoff smiling?
Yes. Another episode without Pete. There's no way you can't convince me this wasn't supposed to be a Penny Parker episode.
Yeah, 100%. It's weird she didn't come back. I wonder if, you know, they were on and off again, and she got sick of his shit. She does talk about being an abuse victim, and he seems to be a little bit of a victimizer.
I don't know about that, but he just seems to be, at this point, he's just a stoner.
I think he demanded blowjobs from co-stars, I'm just saying.
And so there's no explanation of how Mr. Tubbs found out about the violin in the first place. Because he hadn't been to the shipping... depot until 30 minutes before MacGyver had been there.
Yeah, that's a huge plot hole. That makes no sense.
How did he find out about the Stradivarius in the first place?
Oh, God, I hate this show so much less.
And why does he have a gay black henchman?
He gave me the AIDS. He's going to cure it. He's going to work for me as a life debt until he finds out the cure.
Yes. So I don't think there is a single lesson we can learn from this.
If you wanted to work in TV, haha, your dream's a joke. These people... got all the money, and now you're broke.
And then next week, we have an evil steel mill owner's daughter gets taken hostage.
They rape her?
Well, it's MacGyver, so it'll be threatened by multiple people, at least.
Yeah, the 1990 way.
Yes. So, that's MacGyver. Kill me.
Talk about log... Oh, no, steel mill. I was going to say log jamming was the other episode. Yeah. Ba-ba-ba. Ba-ba-ba.